Welcome, everyone, to KRFY Morning Show. This is Julie Prochinski here with Julie Calamine. Good morning, Julie.
Well, hi, Julie. How have you been?
Just fine, thanks. And today we have a special recorded episode of Garden Life with a different kind of gardener. I discovered the Newport Mushroom Company last summer at the Winter Ridge Summer Event. And today we have the co-owner, David Keyes. Welcome, David.
Thank you very much, Julie. I appreciate you having me on. Thrilled to be here.
I was so excited to have someone locally growing mushrooms. So maybe let's begin there. Tell us about you, David, and the origin story of your mushroom business.
Sure. So Newport Mushroom Company started off very much as a hobby for me. I began growing mushrooms in the summer of 2021. At that time, nootropics or cognitive enhancers were gaining popularity. I tried mud water. I tried a bunch of these different mushroom coffees, mushroom supplements, really particularly nature-based nootropics. Ones like lion's mane mushroom were gaining popularity. I started researching how to cultivate them, and it was just fascinating. It's much more involved than one would think. It's not, sure, you can go out and call forage for mushrooms, but actually growing them indoors is, you have to be very clean. You have to, you have sort of like a lab that you have to start it off in.
I'd like to interrupt for just a moment. Why did you become interested in mushroom teas and mushroom beverages? Was it related to health, or you just been reading about it?
Yeah, it came from two sources. My wife is vegan, and so she's always trying to introduce new nutritious, foods into our diet. So she had this self-interest to go and get oyster mushrooms and really tasty mushrooms into our diet. The other side was I work in tech, and of course nootropics are really gaining momentum in tech. Working online, you're using your brain all day long, staring at spreadsheets. You need something to focus. Everyone goes to coffee. That is actually a nootropic. But lion's mane mushroom was gaining momentum, and that was being able to grow it myself and not pay exorbitant amount of money to have access to that was appealing. So,
yeah, cool.
So take us into your growing room, David. Is it a room? Is it a facility? I mean, take us in there with you.
Sure. So my growing facility initially started off as just a 3-foot by 3-foot tent in my office. As I was growing and building up the blocks that mushrooms grow on, I realized that's a lot of spores to be having in my house. And so around the time that we decided to launch the business and scale it, I moved it to a shop that's connected to my house. I bought an 8-foot by 8-foot tent. It's kind of like a nylon. It's a steel structure with a nylon covering. And it's got about 8 or 9 metal or plastic shelves. You can use either. And in that area, I basically can do lab work, which is putting mycelium to grain and expanding the mycelium. And then I can make substrate bags, which is primarily sawdust and organic alfalfa pellets and water. And so as you expand that grain to the mycelium takes over the substrate, and then we put that into the tent to fruit.
And full disclosure here, I'm a bit of a wild mushroomer, and so I do know some of the mushroom terminology, not as much as you're going to know, but for listeners who haven't learned much about mushrooms yet, there's a difference between the mycelium and the mushroom, right?
Yes. Yes. So mycelium is kind of the earliest stage of mushroom growth. Mushrooms actually grow to procreate. They grow to spread spores. And so those spores, when they hit, a decaying log or, a patch that they like in nature, That is going to restart that cycle where mycelium begins to grow and expand. It's kind of a, I would say it's like a net on the ground or in the wood. As that grows and expands, it starts to take over and kind of claim it as its own. In nature, it just finds spots that are conducive to its growth. When you bring that cultivation indoors, you have to be very mindful of competing bacteria, competing organisms. And so, you know, in indoor mushroom cultivation, you're using a lot of isopropyl alcohol. You're using a pressure cooker to sterilize all substrate and grain prior to inoculation. So it's really, you know, you're helping it beat the odds of any sort of competing bacteria to come in and take over. Once you provide that nutritious substrate for it to expand on, it's going to, the mycelium takes over the whole block. And then once it's fully colonized, it's going to want to produce fruits to find another source or find another nutritious source to grow. And so that's the stage where you move a mushroom block that is fully colonated with mycelium into what we call a fruiting chamber, which is just a tent. It's climate controlled, has a set humidity, and we expose it to oxygen. And that is what really triggers the what's called pinning or the mushroom body formation to begin. And from there, about 2 weeks later, in many of the edible mushroom or gourmet mushrooms, you're going to have fruiting bodies to harvest. Some of the medicinal mushrooms will take anywhere from a month to 6 months to form.
Well, that's a pretty quick turnover. I didn't expect it to be that quick, a month to 6 months, depending on the mushroom. How many varieties of mushrooms are you growing?
Right now, we're growing, I want to say, about six different species. I've grown probably 12 different, and what we've found is growing them in a place where you can really control climate and really control humidity, you can grow, you know, hundreds of different kinds. When I moved it to the shop, it was very difficult to maintain, you know, higher levels or higher temperatures through winter. And so some species like pink oyster mushrooms tend to want a little warmer climate, while lion's mane, they grow a little slower in colder climate, but they grow bigger and just richer. So, you know, we have found this sweet spot of what do we grow in the fall? What do we grow in the summer? What do we grow each season? And so right now we're growing shiitake. Shiitakes will take anywhere from, I would say, 2.5 months to 4 months to fully fruit. Oysters, blue oysters, Phoenix oysters, and gold oysters all seem to be doing fine in the winter. Granted, this isn't an indoor shop. We do have a furnace in there, but it's about, I would say, 68 degrees. So we've got blue oyster, Phoenix oyster, gold oyster, lion's mane, shiitake, reishi, turkey tail is what we have right now.
And you can grow them all together in that one facility?
You can. And we do. I would say larger, we participate in many different mushroom growing forums. And the advice from larger producers is, have a tent for each one, because, you know, while you can find a temperature and relative humidity that a group of mushrooms are okay with, some just do much better in, you know, either all on their own. So a tent full of turkey tail, for example, you can really dial in the temperature and the humidity that it wants, which is sometimes very different than other species.
Well, the names that you're mentioning of mushrooms, the turkey tail, I don't think reishi is necessarily a local mushroom, shiitake. Are these mushrooms that we might also find in our own environment? Some of them, yes.
Yeah, I haven't done a lot of foraging myself. I've seen boletes on Gold Hill up in Sandpoint. I've seen chaga I've seen, so chaga is also a medicinal mushroom. It grows on birch trees typically. I haven't seen reishi. There is an artist conch mushroom that grows around here that's very similar. It's a shelf mushroom. The difference is when you turn it over, it's got this white bottom. It's where it drops its spores, and you can draw on it. So it's why it's called the artist conch. But it also has medicinal properties. So there's a lot of these mushrooms do grow locally. The ones that are very popular for indoor cultivation, not all of them. I know lion's mane comes around. In my area, I'm surrounded by pine and fir, which mushrooms don't really like. They like their hardwoods, but you will find lion's mane. I haven't seen any reishi around. Turkey tail, very limited. Chicken of the woods does crop up around here. It's a very bright, almost like hunter orange color and yellow. Tastes just like chicken. It's very, tough relative to other mushrooms, but you can cut it up and use it as chicken. So yeah, many of them do grow around here. It's just given the types of trees that grow in this area, you really have to search. You'd have better luck kind of going on the West Coast.
Yeah, you're not going to earn a living, and you're certainly not going to live off of your mushroom crops around here. I've been out long enough to know that. Right, Julie?
That's true enough. Unless you find that secret fireplace that you can get enough morels to last a couple of years.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a second, because we here in the Pacific Northwest love our fire morels. It's just like a bounty that happens. But I haven't heard you talk about cultivating morels, and they're very delicious and sought after. Is there a reason you don't do morels?
Yeah, we and every mushroom grower in the United States would love to cultivate morels. Unfortunately, they're incredibly difficult to grow, even to propagate. So some folks on their property, they'll pick morels and then they'll make this kind of mushroom slush and spread it around to try to propagate them. I've heard mixed results on the success of that. But it's to actually take, a spore print or a bit of mycelium expanded on agar. There have been, all that I know of is one, it's a university team in Denmark that has figured out how to cultivate morel mushrooms. And the documentary I watched on it, I believe they had 120 some strains of it before they found success. And wow. So it's not only finding the strain, but it's finding the right mix of how do you expand that mycelium, get it to a substrate, and actually produce fruiting bodies. You can expand mycelium, but getting it to fruit is very difficult.
So. They're mysterious. Mushrooms are so mysterious, aren't they?
Reminds me of cultivating huckleberries in this area. Our soils must have something very special that allows them to grow in the wild. But speaking of wild, we do have a lot of questions from our listeners about, can you address how to start your own mushroom little growing operation? What do you recommend? Kits or spawns or spores? Or give us an overview of that, please.
Sure. Yeah, I would say, the nice thing about growing mushrooms is it doesn't take a huge investment. Starting with a growing kit is great advice. A grow kit, either from our company or, online is anywhere from $20 to $30. It's that substrate that I talked about earlier that's colonized with mycelium. It arrives at your door, you open the box, you cut a slit in the bag, and 2 weeks later, you have fruit or you have mushrooms. So it's a really good way to just see it for yourself, how those mushrooms are formed. The other bit of advice is I would say when you start going down this track, you learn about a lab and having a $3,000 flow hood to keep the air clean when you're doing your lab work and all that. And it can be very intimidating. Everything I've learned about growing has been from YouTube and mushroom forums, and it's trial and error. And, you know, I may try to grow a mushroom and I get mold and I got to throw it out. And it's just, it's try it and learn it. And, you know, it really, it's not that difficult. It can be intimidating seeing and hearing the terms that are unfamiliar, like spawn and inoculate and all that. There are many YouTube videos that'll show you how to do it. We have recently been hosting classes, anywhere from 10 to 25 people, and it's very hands-on. So we take them through sterilizing some grain, inoculating that grain with liquid mycelium, allowing it to expand. We do that in a still air box. So again, when you research this on YouTube and try to learn how to grow, you might see flow hoods and say, I can't afford one of those. Well, for the longest time, we've been doing this in still air boxes, which is simply a plastic tote with two holes that are burned in or drilled in. You put your hands in, and inside of it, we've sprayed it down with isopropyl alcohol. We've left it for about 10 minutes, and that provides a place that's sterile enough to do that work in. So it's a $20 investment. I would say just simply searching how to grow mushrooms on YouTube, you're going to find plenty of resources. Starting out with a grow kit is a great low investment, high learning option. And then when you get into it, you know, if you want to grow for your friends, for your family, a Martha tent or a small greenhouse is a really good first step. It's usually about $80 for a rack, I think 5 shelves, a plastic sleeve that goes over top to maintain humidity. You get, you could buy a couple of grow kits, or you can learn how to make them, put them in there with a humidifier and exhaust to pull out any spores, and you have a mushroom farm in your house or in your garage. So there is very low tech ways of doing this, and many mushroom farmers around the U.S. continue to scale their business using low tech solutions like the still air box instead of a flow hood.
So it sounds to me like it can be as easy or as complicated as you want to make it. And I've seen people who've drilled holes in logs out in their yards and inoculated their logs with like oyster mushrooms. So it can be indoor and outdoor too. Yes.
Yes, absolutely. So we haven't done the log cabin stacks or HOTAMs, which is kind of taking a stump and you cut it into slices and smear grain spawn in between them. Those are great options. I would love to do them. Again, we're surrounded by pines and fir, so it's a challenge. I need to reach out to tree cutting services and see if they have any hardwood to spare. But yes, you can. It's as easy as expanding that mycelium to the grain spawn, and then finding some hardwood logs, drill some holes in them, put the grain spawn in those holes, cover it with, you know, beeswax or golf wax, and set it out. And that is a great way to have mushrooms every spring and fall. It does take time. So I was describing earlier that indoor cultivation, we can get mushrooms in 4 to 6 weeks. When you do this on logs, it's typically you're doing that in the fall. And then if you're really lucky, you'll get mushrooms in the spring, usually the next fall. But setting up a good log cabin stack of inoculated logs can get you mushrooms for about three years, spring and fall.
Wow. Is there for a beginner, can you recommend a favorite mushroom? Is there one that's just the easiest one of all of them, or not really?
Yeah. I mean, I would say the best one to start with is probably blue oyster. Mycelium is very aggressive. It's very clear when to fruit the mushroom. So when you're looking at the block, it's pure white, and you're just going to cut a line in the bag and let it go. Another one is lion's mane. A lot of people are intimidated by lion's mane. I don't necessarily know why. I think because it has so much interest in its medicinal properties nowadays that a lot of people think it's hard to grow, it's hard to access. It's not. It's very similar. The difference is when a block is inoculated, the mycelium is very wispy. So it's not it's not obvious when to fruit it. So if you just set, if you set a time, 2-3 weeks from inoculation, and then just cut it and it'll go. So yeah, both blue oysters and lion's mane are very versatile in the climate that they can grow in, and easy to grow.
That's great. That's inspiring me.
Yay.
David, you'd mentioned the neurotropic qualities of the mushroom, but what about other nutritional value? What else do you know of as far as mushrooms' nutritional value?
Yeah, I most of the medicinal most of the medicinal mushrooms that we grow are specifically for immune support, for cognitive or nerve support. They're more kind of the not nutritious but medicinal side, though there's very much area in between there. On the nutrition side, I kind of leave that to my wife. I don't know a lot about the nutrition side. I think, yeah, it's, I know all mushrooms have a lot of benefits nutrition wise, but I don't know specifically like the vitamins or the, we read a lot about beta glucans being good. But I don't go too far down that track.
Well, I did a little bit of research. Oh, sorry, Julie.
Oh, sorry, guys, for talking over. This is what I told. These were the instructions I gave, not to talk over each other, and I'm doing it. But I'm just wondering, what is a beta glucan?
Beta glucans, I think, are they're. I don't know specifically, and I don't want to give incorrect information.
A healthful something or other.
They could be. There's a lot of vitamin D, vitamin B vitamins in mushrooms is what I was reading about, and really antioxidants. So a lot of the antioxidants are found in mushrooms, thiamine, potassium, niacin, that's what I saw. And the other thing I saw that I thought was interesting, Julie, is that the mushrooms are being used now as a meat substitute in place of the soy substitute because they aren't as processed and they are a more natural product in a meatless world.
Sure.
Yeah, that's actually a very hot topic in the mushroom growing forums, is that mushroom jerky is starting to kind of take off. My partner in the business, Joe, he's been experimenting with drying out oyster mushrooms, king oysters, specifically because they're a bit tougher. And so we're trying to find mushrooms that are a little more dense. So if you've cooked with different gourmet mushrooms, maybe you've cooked with shiitake and oysters. Well, oysters you'll find are a bit more squishy and chewy, where shiitake is a bit more rough and firm. And so when you're making mushroom jerky, you want that firm base to start with. But it's less processed. It's not a bunch of grains and chemicals for flavor and stuff like that. It's, mushroom jerky is simply dehydrated mushroom with some spices, the same that you would do on meat itself. So
yes. Well, portobello burgers are my favorite burgers. So
my wife is a fan for sure.
Yes.
I think so. This may have been a topic for earlier, but we're going to get to it now. And that is to talk about your mission. We've heard about education and other things, but why don't you tell us in your own words, David, what is your mission?
So our mission, really making genuine connections locally, educating and empowering others and contributing to the health and wellness of our community. When I started this business, what really caused it to take off was simply a post on Facebook saying, I've got extra mushrooms, beyond what my family and neighbors can consume. the interest I got from that post was incredible. I had people from Coeur d'Alene, from Sandpoint, from Spokane wanting to come to Newport to buy a pint of mushrooms. That was, you know, my wife and I had been living in Newport at the time for about a year, year and a half. We found it a little difficult to connect with the community here. And when I started meeting people with mushroom to sell mushrooms, and then later when I grew this business and started selling at the farmers market, it was amazing the connections I made. So for us, it was how do I connect with the community? Through mushrooms. And what am I doing for the community? I'm providing really nutritious food options locally. So it's, this business for me has started off as a hobby, continues to be a hobby. It's not my main source of income, but it is definitely the most enriching work I do. I love to connect with my partners over just mixing bags. I love connecting with the community and the farmers markets. This past year, we've only been selling at Newport, the Newport Farmers Market, and a few festivals. This summer coming up, we're planning on selling in Liberty Lake Farmers Market, Sandpoint Farmers Market, and continue to sell here. But it's certainly the most enriching, just fun way to connect with folks locally.
Yeah, and I'm going to add that nutritional food, nutritious food, and food that's grown in the community is something that brings people of all types, sizes, shapes, political ideas. They all come together around food. Would you agree with that, Julie P?
Yes, that is so true, Julie.
Mm-hmm. And it's a community builder. So I couldn't agree more.
With that, David, introduce your co-owners and your business a little bit to the listeners.
Sure. So as the name entails, we're a Newport Mushroom Company out of Newport, Washington. We formed the company in March of last year. I have two other partners, my wife, Sarah Baudet, and then my partner, Joseph Fortunato. We've kind of split duties across. So Sarah is our herbalist. She's making mushroom-based salves and mushroom-based tinctures. I'm doing a lot of the books, the online website, scheduling software, and then attending farmers markets. And Joe is running spawn production. I mix bags with him, and then he does most of the fruiting now. So it's a really just great project for all of us to connect. We're very close friends, and it's just fun to hang out and grow mushrooms. And then it's great to share that with others, whether it's a farmer's market or a mushroom growing class.
Yeah, nice. Why don't you give us your contact information so that folks can find you if they would want to either get mushrooms or look at what class offerings are available?
Sure. So my email address is david@newportmushroom.com. Our website is newportmushroom.com. And you will find us in farmers market seasons, typically May through October. You'll find us for sure in Sandpoint and in Newport.
Can't wait.
And I'm sure people will be calling you for advice as well. It's so great to have someone local we can talk to about our projects, and you sound like a wealth of information. So our last thing that we do at Garden Life every episode is, what is your antidote to share with us about why mushrooming, growing mushrooms, improves your life?
Yeah, I think I kind of touched on it earlier, is that, you know, after moving to this area, my wife is Spokane native, but moving north, connecting with community was a little hard. I grew up in a very small town. We knew everybody. When I moved here, I expected the same. And I understand it's hard to work yourself into a community. She found that connection through the Friends of the Library and the Community Garden Project at the library. So she was about 6 months in on that and making her inroads before I started growing mushrooms. But for me, growing mushrooms was my link to the community. And it was a genuine link. It wasn't I simply shared my hobby.
You didn't have to force it. No forcing. It just came.
Exactly. Yeah.
The best kind of community.
Yes.
Absolutely.
All right. That's a good antidote. Julie Perchinsky, what is your antidote? And is it related to mushrooms?
It always is. It's the magic of mushrooms, not magic mushrooms, the magic of mushrooms. When you go into that area and you're kind of looking and thinking, oh, there's no mushrooms here. And then all of a sudden you see one, then you see another, then you see another. And then all of a sudden it's this whole forest of these little tiny mushrooms all around you that you almost stepped on before you saw that first one. And that they're like speaking to you. Mushrooms are so special that way.
Yeah, and I will say that I most likely have several antidotes around mushrooms, because when I think about mushrooms and how they just spread out, they're kind of like all over the universe and some of the largest plant bodies known, and they can clean the world and offer us nutrition. They're just kind of, they're both mysterious, magical, wonderful. But I'm going to say that my main antidote this time of the year around mushrooms is looking at my jars of dried mushrooms that I've harvested earlier this year. I've got chanterelles and oysters and a few morels, and I am thinking about cooking with them. And it's great.
That's right. That's right. Well, thank you so much, David Keyes of Newport Mushroom Company, for joining us today. And we didn't even get into what mycelium and mushrooms mean for the forest health itself. That's something we'll have to talk about another day, David. But thank you so much for coming on with us. And we sure appreciate your time.
Thank you both so much. I appreciate being here.
All right. Well, we want to thank you, David Keyes of Newport Mushroom, for your time with us. We've all gotten some ideas and something to look forward to in the spring. Thank you, listeners.